On this week's episode of Can the Church Be Saved? It's one of my favorite people on the church staff. Yeah, I like him even better than I like Mark. That's actually true. Mike Corcoran, who takes care of the building and manages things. Man, we've got a great show for you today. Stay tuned. You probably have no idea all of the things that Mike does. You probably have no idea all of the things that Mike is an expert in. But you're going to get a taste of it today. I don't think it can be packed into 1 hour's worth of conversation. Mike is the facilities manager for First United Methodist Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. A lovely building that we take a lot of pride in. But, you know, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of resources to keep the building in the shape that it's in. And Mike's the guy. Today, Mike is going to be talking with us, well, I'm going to get out of the way in a few minutes, but he's going to be talking to Mark about a lot of things. My favorite thing is to just let them go and listen to how it all turns out. So I hope you feel the same way. Mark, what's happening today? How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I have had a great day connecting with a whole bunch of people. We had a whole bunch of people in for a meal today, and it was nice to see everybody here. Yeah,
meals.
It's gone really well.
Any day at church with a meal is a good day.
And you will be jealous, Steve. It was catered by Buddy's Barbecue.
Oh!
Just to stick that knife in your back, because I know you don't have buddies up in the greater Washington, D.C. area.
So in the nation's capital, we have a problem, and that is lack of good barbecue. Yes, I said it. It's true. There is, and people debate me about this all the time. They say, oh, there's so-and-so, there's Hill Country, there's, hey, have you ever tried that? And I was like, yeah, but there's not Buddy's. And Buddy's is the standard by which all other barbecue, for me, is measured. I just can't get beyond that.
Well, it was delightful. And so there's that going on. There's the, gosh, there's so many regular things we never get a chance to talk about here. You know, our Wednesday night community meal. I just want to celebrate that again with everyone. We're feeding around 180 meals every
Incredible.
Wednesday night. It is, and it's still a drive-through experience. Jenny Kaufman takes the lead on that. She's wonderful. Their team of people led by Gene Kyle, they really are wonderful and dedicated and gracious. Food for Kids is happening Monday. We host a community-wide putting together food for children at every school in the Oak Ridge school system to have backpacks of food to take home with them on the weekend so that they...
Again, incredible.
It is. And they put together so many meals. That's a once-a-month experience. Kara Weigel takes the lead on. And as you just said, your favorite person on the church staff, Mike Corcoran, going to be here today. Mike's getting ready to refinish a part of the multi-purpose room floor. That is just one of the many things he is expert at. I have a list. When you're ready, I'm ready. I have a list of things he's expert at right here.
Do you?
I do.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. Yeah, because first thing we've got to do is we've got to talk about our sponsor today.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is another one that I feel like needs to be, we need to build some anticipation for it. This is a sponsor that has a product that creates a lot of, it solves a problem that we all have. I don't know how you are, Mark, but when I'm driving, I have to use my GPS all the time.
It's a necessity anymore.
Even when I know where I'm going, I still want to put the GPS on so, you know, if there's any, so I can just, like, zone out, I guess. I don't know. But I want to know where how traffic is. I want to know, you know. But sometimes the GPS gets it wrong. Have you ever had that experience?
No.
Then no? No. Well,
but then again, see, I I trust the GPS, and I kind of turn my mind off. So it could send me, if I'm driving from here to Knoxville, it could send me via Atlanta, and I would assume, well, it probably knows what it's talking about. So,
but Mike's not the same way. I know this to be true. He yells at the. He's one of these guys that yells at the GPS.
Oh, he's a hothead.
He's yelling at it. He's like, don't tell me what to do. And you know, anyway, I don't want to say too much, but I do want to build anticipation, because this sponsor that we have today really, really addresses some of the difficult issues that some of us who are a little headstrong, I'll confess, you know, we want to take control of things. And you know, this GPS system helps manage people like me and Mike.
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I look forward
to
doing that.
It is. It's very exciting. So, yeah. So there, you have to introduce Mike to our audience today, our audience of veritable single digits of people. We're so excited to be connected to. Well, really, it's more than that. It's more like double digits, but still, you know.
I was gonna say.
That's a lot of work for just a couple of people.
Just my family puts it to double digits. Come on. Well, I am pleased to introduce Mike. His role here at First United Methodist is facilities director, but Mike's expertise and experience are vastly underrated, underspoken with just that title. He is an expert, yes, in HVAC systems and ozone cleaning systems. Honestly, talk to him about ozone. It's amazing. But he's also a computer expert. He has a background in computers. I would call him a theologian. And he is the most annoyingly informed person about Star Trek, the original series, that you will ever find in your life. You could quiz him on it, and he will beat the quiz. He's that good. Mike Corcoran, so much glad that you were with us. So pleased that you could join us today.
Well, I don't know that I can take any more introductions. My goodness. But I have to say, of all those lovely things that were said, the key word would be annoying. So, Mark, you hit it right on the head with that one. It's kind of a gift that I have. I like to, every once in a while, annoy people. We all do, just for fun. I like to test people, see how they respond, you know, little things
like
that.
In the green room, before we you know, started recording this podcast, we were trying to, Mark and I were trying to fill in, you know, fill Mike in on kind of the style of this conversation and how it works. And I came up with a pretty... I think it's got to be our slogan from here going forward. It's sports talk radio that's come to Jesus.
Yes, brother.
So
you
take it away. Take it away, Tony Kornheiser.
Well, let's start with just this. This is completely, we have not spoken before about Star Trek prior to this moment. Mike, here's your quiz. I'm pulling up Star Trek, the original series. What is the name of the episode? I randomly picked this one. That this is the description of. The flight recorder of the 200-year-old USS Valiant relays a tale of terror, a magnetic storm at the edge of the galaxy.
Whoa.
Yeah, see, I tried to pick the hard one that I could see on here.
Valiant? This is from the
USS Valiant, yeah. First season. Yeah.
Oh boy, that's
I tried to pick a hard one. You keep thinking about that one, and we'll
there's 26
move on.
Episodes, so I've got to.
I'll even tell you, it's episode 3 of the first season.
Oh, episode 3. That's Carbamite Maneuver. Shoot.
I am so excited. I have never, of the hundreds of times I've asked Mike stuff, I've never stumped him.
The Valiant.
I love this.
Valiant. Wow. Okay. Read it again, if you don't mind.
Well, no. The time is up. Where no man has gone before.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not a good description for that episode. No, it isn't. It's a really, really poor one. No, I don't.
Okay.
I can't lose that one. No. Sorry.
Okay, I'll give you another one later. Okay, let's get back to the podcast. The title of our podcast is "Can the Church Be Saved?" You come with a background in facilities. I am fascinated how you would answer that question. Can the church be saved?
That's a good question and an open question. It's got 1,000 different directions to go. But since I am a facilities guy, I'll be tackling it in that area. But can the church be saved? That's a good question. It's a good question. Let's hope to God it can. You know, let's hope so. From the facilities end of it, my first thought goes to, of course, can the building be maintained? Can we continue with it? Given the way the direction of the world goes at times, you don't know. There are big questions that come up all the time. Yesterday we had a guy go up on the bell tower, cross tower, and find
there's no bell up there.
I swear I'm going to put a little ringer up there. And he found that there are some stones that are coming loose from the top of the tower. They're starting to cave. They're caving in. So this is going to be another thing that we're going to have to look at. He took some pictures, but we have to save the bell. We have to save the cross tower. So if we do nothing, it is going to collapse probably in a year or two, that one area anyway. So, how do you save that? Well, shoot, you got to put some money into it. You got to get some experts. You got to turn them loose and hope that they do the job properly.
So. And you just hit the key issue, I think, when we have conversations about the future of our church building. We have seen the whole country, really the whole world, prices go up on almost every sector of life these days. We are very aware here at the church that the cost of keeping our building maintained and doing just regular maintenance on the things that, besides paying the utility bill, besides keeping us warm and cool, you're watching the cost of keeping this church maintained skyrocket, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. The cost of cleaning products alone, I used to average about $185 on any given week in an order. That now has more than doubled in some areas, and has doubled. And so now I'm paying 3.25 average every couple of weeks because the price has literally doubled on some things. And we're still ordering the same products. Keep in mind, Mark, that during the pandemic we were buying all kinds of cleaning solutions. We were sanitizing everything. Remember, I was even using that sanitizing gun going up and down and spraying. That cost in itself, that was a $1,800 piece of equipment. All the chemicals for it was very expensive. But that was when the prices were reasonable. So we're not doing any of that or very little of that now. And it has doubled right across the board.
As we look ahead to next year's budget, that's one of those really looming questions we have. Trustees' budget this year is already stretched to the limit, if not beyond it. And we know that the prices are not going down between now and next year. That means without spending anything more on programming, we already have increases of 4 or 5%, whatever, in the trustees' budget alone that we're going to try to fit into the greater church budget. That's a really difficult place for us to be. And I know you and your staff have worked really hard at keeping those costs down. What are some of the things that you're doing to keep costs down as we move ahead?
I'll tell you what, the crew that I've got right now, they are on top of everything. And they're mature people, so they seem to know what needs to be done and how to do it. And they're going back to just a lot of rags and cleaning and wiping and a lot of that. Because I'm constantly reminding them that budget is so tight right now that we've got to do all we can. So how can we become more efficient? And they're really picking up on it. I have to pat them on the back for that. It's not easy. It's not easy. But fortunately, in some of the more the better years, the more years of plenty versus the years of lean that are seem to be coming, in those years, we purchased some equipment here. The walk behind automatic scrubber, another floor scrubber. We've got some good equipment here. So we're now putting a lot of that and continuing to put that to use. So we shouldn't burden the budget with equipment as much as just supplies now for cleaning anyway.
And that's our goal for next year, is to try to keep it just at the normal maintenance. Our goal is to have a year of normal maintenance and nothing more, which if you remember, we have not had this year. We had a chiller go out in our air conditioning system. That, Mike, I try to forget those numbers because they're just on the painful side. How much is the new temporary solution for our chiller so that we could have air conditioning throughout this past summer?
That has cost $30,000, almost exactly $30,000, and that has been great. It got us through. All the equipment worked fantastic. It really did. And if we had to... If we could somehow wait another year, it would probably work, and we could probably get away with it. But we've already paid $190,000 for that chiller, which will be delivered. The date keeps getting pushed out now. It's the end of February. So if when that comes in, we'll be ready to install. We have not paid for installation yet. Marty, the guy who's installing it, is concerned that his costs are going up, and he's already quoted us at $55,000 for installation. And I told him, Marty, that's too bad. You're gonna have to eat this one. And so let's hope it's sooner than later for installation. And he smiled at me and said, I hope they have all the parts, Mike.
So just to recap, you're talking about a $30,000 temporary solution that kept us cool this summer. Yep. And a $90,000 chiller that we'll have to install next year so that in the future we'll have air conditioning. Now, the good news of that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the good news is though the boiler, the chiller, and the roof are the big frightening physical plant issues that all churches worry about. We have a new boiler. We installed one of those not too long ago. Now we're going to have a new chiller and our roof. Do we have to replace our roof anytime soon?
No. Now that we cleaned that building, we cleaned the entire building and cleaned the roof, it was one of the smartest things that I think we've done here since I've been here. It doesn't sound like much. I mean, it just doesn't. But really, when you think of it, there was so much algae growing on that roof that whenever the roofing guy would come in, he had to physically peel it all back, look everywhere he could for leaks. Now he can stand on the ground, literally, and look up and see where he has to go. So his bill every time he got on that roof, since I've been here, was $3,000 and $4,000 for repairs. His last two repairs was one was $790, the other was $1,400. He has not been over $1,400 because now he can go right to the problem, and that is huge. We'll see a savings over a few years for that one.
And that reminds me, with the new chiller, in theory, we'll see a savings long term compared to our utility costs of the past, just as we did with the boiler.
Yeah. And interesting that in the past years, with everything going up, our utility bills have really come down. As strange as that may sound, I've charted it, and you can see the highest of the last year that we had was in 2019, and it went down in 2020. We attributed that to being closed most of the time. So in 21, we figured it was going to skyrocket. It did not skyrocket. It did not. We were back to full use. So that's amazing.
Who would have thought replacing 1950s HVAC systems and boilers would produce more efficiency? Who would have thought that?
Yeah. And less cost. Well, in the long run.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break right here to give you another chance to make up your Star Trek trivia. I pulled up another random one from the episode, I'm sorry, season one. It's a, so here's your clue. It's a season one episode. Here's the description written by the same people of the last one that you didn't like at all. So we'll see how this one works. Wow, I just lost it. I was trying to go back up to make sure it was season one. Here it is. Kirk, Captain James Kirk, and psychiatrist Helen Noel are trapped on a maximum security penal colony that experiments with mind control, and Spock must use the Vulcan mind meld to find a way to save them.
Okay, I'm thinking Whom Gods Destroy, but I think that was third season. That was the penal colony one as well. This one, is that the one, Whom Gods Destroy? I don't think so. The other penal colony one that I can think of is, What Are Little Girls Made Of? No.
Wow, two for two, we are stumping you. I'm so excited. I have never given Mike a Star Trek question that he has failed, so I'm going to keep asking you and just grind this into the ground. I love this. It was Dagger of the Mind.
Dagger of the Mind. Yep. Yep. That's right. That's right.
This doesn't count in the scorekeeping thing, but you know, my favorite episode is one that stars William Wyndham. Do you know that? Do you know that episode?
That was Doomsday Machine.
Oh, so good.
About the big cone.
Yeah, the big cone. It absolutely struck terror in my heart when I was a kid, you know, because that music and this, it's so cheesy looking now, right? It's so cheesy, but
yeah.
Man, William Wyndham just screams this, you know, he plays this psychopath character so well. It's just crazy good. Yeah.
See, that's what usually happens. When I ask Mike, I'll mention some random character actor, and he'll go, oh, that one, yeah, yeah. And he names it, you know. So I'm two for two. I just want to point that out. As we get back to our conversation on maintenance now, I know that
you, two for
you
two.
All have been...
You love it, don't you? You love it.
I'm loving it.
Man.
One of our goals when we say we want a zero maintenance year next year, that means not doing some of the extra things that you have been so good at doing over the last few years here. But we are going to have a few extra things that you've already paid for in this year's projects, I believe. Are you thinking about still installing sails on the playground?
Yes. We purchased those sails, and the sails themselves came real quick. But the hardware, there was special hardware for those things because of the wind velocity. When the wind starts flapping, it's going to pull like crazy on these cables. So we had to have special brackets that are rated for 3,000 and 4,000 pounds of torque power. And by the time they got in and all the little parts to go with it, summer was ending. I mean, it was just, they kept delaying and delaying and delaying. So we have everything sitting in my office, and I want to install that sometime in the winter, but we will not put the sails up. We'll wait. The sails will then go up first thing when they're needed, and the whole thing will be installed. It is paid for, and we'll do it sometime this winter.
Those sunshades are so important to our children who play on the playground from the First Steps Child Development Center. It gets really hot. And one of the most creative things I've seen done around here happened to be a car wash system that Mike and his team put together so that the little kids in our First Steps preschool could drive their little pretend cars through a car wash that just made out of PVC pipe, so it would drip little drips of water on them so they would stay cool in summer. And they would have this car wash set up every hot day, and they'd go out there and drive their cars in the car wash. It was so adorable.
Yeah. Some of the things hanging down were sponges, like you'd use to clean a car. They would get water on them and fill up, so the kids would either squeeze them or get hit by the wet sponge. It was a lot of fun. A lot of little things like that.
A lot of little things. You know, when I first arrived here, one of the great issues that this church has had in the past has been with custodial staff. And I was made very clear early on, this has been a problem, and we are really happy with this group, what we have now. We've been really blessed. Right now, we have a great facility staff, don't we? You've done a great job at developing a good staff.
Well, one of the key things was trying to get a team that worked as a team. People got to work together. If you can't work together, there's a problem. And one person can't carry it all, and everyone is expendable at the same time. So we need to be aware that we're part of that team. We cover for that team. We watch over. Everyone learns what the other is doing so we can cross-train. If we have to cover, we'll cover. I don't know how many times I've mopped floors here since I've been here, how much trash I've taken out, but it's been a lot. And when somebody isn't here, it's got to be done. So that means doing it in the evening, staying sometimes till 10, 10:30, whatever it needs. I mean, I haven't had to do it much. I used to do it a lot. I haven't had to do it much this past few months now that we've got a new team. So that just thrills me because they talk to each other and say, hey, I'm not going to be here this day. That's not a problem. I'll cover for you. And the next thing you know, they just inform me this is all covered. So I love it. Yeah. I feel like a really, really proud guy.
I remember being in seminary and one of the greatest theologians of our time, Dr. Langford, used to talk about to graduate students. He would say, do you know the names of the custodial staff that are in the seminary? And you'd watch all these embarrassed students, him and Hall, and he'd say, oh, and he knew every one of them and had good, close relationships for over 20 years with quite a few of them. And he talked about part of your goal as a theologian, part of your goal as a Christian is to know people who care for you and that make it possible for you to do your job. And it was so wonderful to have that message given to me, to us. And I cannot say enough good things about you and all your team, all that you've been doing. We appreciate you, and I hope the congregation lets you know that too.
Yeah, we do. We get a lot of good feedback. You know, I'm reminded you said that Jesus said the greatest among you will be your servant. So it's never going to be you. It's going to be your servant, the one that's serving you. So in the church situation, as a pastor, you know that people are serving all the time. And I used to tell a lot of young pastors, you know, you're not the greatest one here. It's the one that's serving you. So get that in your mind right away, and you'll have a much better relationship with those in the congregation when you realize everybody thinks you're the greatest, but you're not. It's the one that's serving you. That's the biblical standard for it. So kind of keeps everybody in check.
I'm trying to figure out at this second who's the preacher. Is it who is it? Is it Mike or is it Mark? Your names are very similar.
I told
similar.
You he's a theologian.
He is a theologian. Right? It's pretty cool. So I got to call. I got to call us to attention one more time. I got to do a shout out to our sponsor this week. I'm so excited about this one because, when we talk about serving and being served, you know, these days our machines serve us quite a bit, right? You know, our machines, our devices. And, devices don't have hearts. They don't have souls. And I don't know about you, but do either one of you have one of those, you know, Amazon Alexa things? You don't do that?
I do Siri on my phone, but I do not have anything in my home to tell me to do things.
Well, Alexa is always trying to tell me things that I don't want to know. It's you ask, hey, what's the weather going to do today? And she tells me, and then she says, by the way, I can help you shop for funny gifts. Would you like some idea? You know, stuff like that. It's it's insane. So anyway, our sponsor today is really solving one of those problems, those issues. So here we go. Can the Church Be Saved is brought to you today by GPS Voices for the Counterdependent. Are you fiercely independent and hate relying on others? Whenever someone offers you advice, do you immediately push back? We understand and we know how enraging the voices on navigation programs are for strong, autonomous people like you.
In 500 feet, turn right onto Main Street.
Don't tell me what to do! I'll turn when I feel like it!
So we have created a GPS voice for those who like control.
You don't need me to tell you how to drive, but many people turn on Main Street up here on the right. But whatever, you probably already knew that.
Finally, there is a GPS that recognizes its place. Instead of
recalculating,
you'll hear
any idiot can get there by taking that road. You do you. Oh, you can turn around at the next street and teach these sheep how an intelligent person drives.
GPS voices for the counter-dependent. Stop being pushed around by computers. I mean, you know, it's a thing. It's a thing. So, yeah. Oh, so,
I want you to know, I told Annette that I thought we were going to have a sponsor that was a GPS sponsor for the counter-dependent, and she could not stop laughing. Not that she is counter-dependent. No, not that she pushes back.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
No, not her.
Can't imagine, but...
Love.
But, you know, our walk-back music... Has to be this, right? Has to be.
I love it. I love it.
And now it's time for Mike's third question. Could this be the third strike on today's episode?
Are we going for,
that's right.
Are we going for like two out of three or?
Oh, I'm hoping to get three strikes and he's out.
He's busting me.
He's going to lose his crown here. I am so excited. I cannot tell you. Okay. We're going to stick with season one episodes. Okay. The most popular, highly rated episode in the Star Trek original series line. This is an episode when a temporarily insane Dr. McCoy accidentally changes history and destroys his time. Kirk and Spock follow him to prevent the disaster, but the price to do so is high. What's the name of that episode?
The City on the Edge of Forever.
Yes.
By Harlan Ellison. I met him, got his autograph, got a chance to talk with him. Told him that was an amazing story. And I didn't, check this out. I didn't have anything to write his him to autograph because I just met him. So I reached into my pocket and pulled out a dollar. So he signed the dollar, right? I thought, great. Yeah. Then I got a chance to meet somebody else. This is at a Star Trek convention. Got a chance to meet Walter Koenig. Got his autograph. Had to go to the bathroom real bad. I mean, I was just holding my bladder. I didn't want to miss anything. 5 or 6 hours later, I said, I got to go. So I ran down the hall as fast as I could. And when I ran around the corner, I bumped into this guy and almost knocked him down. And it was James Doohan. The guy who plays Scotty.
Scotty!
And I said, Scotty, I'm sorry. He says, slow down, son. He said, you're going to get hurt. And I said, I am terribly sorry. I knocked into you, but I'm so surprised and nice to meet you and all that. And I said, can I get your autograph? And he says, why, sure. He pulls out a pen. I pulled out the dollar. He says, I'm sorry, son. I cannot deface the currency. I won't do it.
Wow.
He said, no, you're not allowed to deface currency like that. It's a federal offense. And I said, are you serious?
Look at Scotty. I so appreciate it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The inspiration that behind your work in the church fixing things like that? Was he the man who... It all adds up now. I get
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because when the warp drives go down... Mike is your man.
The engines can't take much more of it, Captain. So that's.
Oh my gosh, it's the truth. Mike is the moral foundation for so much that goes on around here. I mean, in all honesty, you would think I've never been in a church where the facilities director, when he shows up and teaches Sunday school classes, he'll show up and just answer questions. He gets higher ratings than anybody. They come back and go, "Oh my gosh, he was so great." So
well,
now we know.
Yeah, it's really I'm really right now, there's two Mike Corcorans, and there's one that, the evil Mike Corcoran, he's out doing things right now. The other Mike Corcoran shows up at the church, all due to a transporter malfunction.
Oh, I hate those. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, well, all right, back to maintenance and conversation around the church. I know one of the things that you have been planning for a long time that may end up being set aside this coming year because of the financial crisis is that you've been working and developing the opportunity to have a covered walkway coming out of that single door on the Vienna Road side of the building to where we have the full Welcome Center has an overhang. You've been working on creating an overhang, a walkway that's got a roof on it out of that one door. Why would we need another overhanging door right there, Mike?
That's a great question. Because not that many feet away is the carport, and that is all covered. But one day I was standing out in the carport, and I was watching during the rain. It was raining pretty hard, and I was watching the Keystone, one of the participants being dropped off in a wheelchair, being wheeled out of the car in front of the button of where the fob is, buzzing in and waiting for that door to someone to answer, waiting for that door to open. And so much time went by and the rain just kept dumping on him and dumping on him and dumping on him. And then I finally said, I gotta help. So I ran over there and said, can I help you guys? They said the gentleman's hair was just soaking wet and the two of them were wet, and I thought to myself, if we just had a covering of some kind over that one spot where they have to pause and wait, then they don't have to stand in the rain. I mean, you can't deal with getting out of your car. That's just part of life. But getting there, waiting on the security system that we have, that we've installed, that we maintain, you have to wait for someone to answer that and let you in. And I just thought, there's got to be a better way.
I so appreciate that. That's for those who don't know, Keystone participants are encouraged to go through that entrance, and it rings down into Keystone quite often. Yeah, so yeah, it makes sense. Now, as I was mentioning earlier, we are already going to be stretched really thin, if not overstretched, in our trustees' budget next year. So how are we going to pay for this potential really important improvement to our church building? You may or may not know, we have a wide variety of resources, one of which is the Memorial Fund. People who have given money to in memory of someone special in their life after they've passed away, money goes into the Memorial Fund. And Mike and I have been talking this past week about the possibility of applying for memorial funds to help pay for that covered walkway. I think that's a good idea. And how much would that kind of a structure cost? Do we know yet?
Yeah, well, we're thinking at this point of originally when I priced it out, the highest cost was the lumber, but even more than that, really less than that, more than the lumber was the cost of the slate tiles. When I looked into that, I thought, oh man, that's astronomical. So it's just crazy, the cost of the slate tiles. And then we can't put them in. I have no idea how to do that stuff, so I got to get a roofer. So I called him up and said, can you come in here and tell me what it would cost to install this thing? He said, probably for me, if you provide the materials, about $3,000 or $4,000 in labor, because I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I said, well, that's not you're not surprising me with that number. But he said, Mike, the cost of these materials are outrageous. And I said, yeah, okay. We'll figure something out. Then within maybe a week or two, I got a call from one of the teachers in First Steps. And she said, Mike, I am at this place right now. They're having a big sale, a building materials guy, or a builder, I should say, has got all kinds of building materials for sale in this building. You might want to come down and look at it. I went down there and looked, and you know what I saw? A pallet full of slate tiles. It was probably, I asked the guy, I said, those tiles there? He said, yes. He said, there's about $3,000 worth of tiles right here. And I said, $3,000, huh? And I said, what do you say I give you $100 for them all? Because you don't want to have to move those things. Look how heavy. You're never going to be able. I said, just take $100. It's going to a church, you know, no problem. He looked at me. He said, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, you want to move them to your next building? And he said, no. I said, then take the $100. He laughed. He said, boy, you're quite a deal, a dealer. So I pulled out $100, gave it to him, and we loaded up. It took us a while to load. Now we got all the tiles we need for that, for $100.
And we didn't I love that story.
So I thought, Mark, that they've been sitting out there for a year and a half now. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of our go-ahead to do this project. Now we just got to wait for the price of lumber to come down a little. So you may not have
known that. Negotiator and theologian. The Holy Spirit moves through $100 pile
of tile. I'm taking you to Jerusalem next time I go.
Yeah.
I mean, well, for those of you who don't know how... For those of you who don't know how this works systematically, we will apply sometime next year. We'll apply for those memorial funds, and we have a committee that oversees that, the Enduring Gifts Committee, and we'll get those final costs set, and we'll see what they say. We're getting ready to enter into our stewardship campaign where we fund next year's budget. Hope everybody keeps in mind as we're talking about these just regular maintenance, let alone improving our building. I've heard many conversations over the last few weeks about how our building is really an outreach into the community. Jeff Kyle was talking just the other day about how many community groups we host, how many people use our facilities, not just for our own ministries, but how we reach out and open the building up. And it is a great gift, but it is of a certain age, and certain maintenance issues are really, really important, and we need to maintain that. And so that was my question, Mike. What are some of the things, the maintenance issues associated with the building of this particular age? I mean, we know that, thank the Lord, we don't have to replace the tile on the roof, but what are some of the issues that we do see coming in the next 5 to 10 years?
I have been looking at the mortar, and a couple of years ago I started looking at it, and it all looked great. So the areas that we do have problems in now in that tower are, I think, the biggest problem with the exterior of the building. The roof looks real good. When the roofer goes up there and looks, he said it actually looks great. We've got a few spots that we need just general maintenance on. The stone in the building is immaculate. The windows are all in great shape. I mean, the physical building itself seems like it's in real good shape, nice and solid. The maintenance issues that I see forthcoming will be HVAC again, not the main units, but now all the little valves that open and close the system so that hot water can go into the units. Out of the 68 units that we have for air handlers, everyone has 4 pipes that go in and out, bringing cold water in, cold water out, hot water in, hot water out. And each one of those have a little mechanism, a little motorized valve that opens and closes based on when the computer tells it to open and close. Those now have a 20-year lifespan. They were all installed in 2002. We have reached our lifespan.
Yeah.
I did replace 18 of them last year. And a few of them this year. So I see that as an ongoing maintenance issue. But that's really about what I'm seeing.
I remember when we refinished the floor in the multipurpose room. And by refinishing it, I meant not just putting on a coat of varnish or anything, but had them come in and dig down into the floor, and how the crew that did that commented about what an excellent floor it really is. I think you would remember more than me, but it's only one group in the United States that actually does maintenance on this. It's out of England originally, but it looked brand new, and it's one of those reminders of the people who built this building, those who went before us, and some of whom are still with us, did an excellent job of building a really wonderful building, and it's passed on to us.
They did a great job. That product is a composite of concrete and wood, and it's called Granwood, Granwood, in Grandwood, I found this product. I found it. I mean, it was like, how in the world did I find it? I don't know. But I did, and it did. It was imported from England. And it's an unusual product, but it's very, very durable. And Mark, do you remember after we had that grounded, they would grind it right on down. They resurfaced it, how beautiful it looked. It looked like glass. It looked like a wet surface. And I was a little fussy about that. And Mark said something one day. He said, Mike, you're going to have to let it go. It's going to get scratched. And I was just kind of arguing. I don't want it scratched. It looks so good. And I don't want people doing this. And he said, I'm going to go up there and take my keys and scratch the floor for you. Just so you know, it's going to get scratched. Now, would you please lighten up? And I said, Am I that bad? And he said, yeah, kind of. You're kind of annoying.
That, Mike, I have a story to tell. But he said, This is Mark, okay? My thing, I like my books in my office, you know, like them all kind of lined up, you know. I like them presented well. And Mark used to come into my office and just like take his finger and push and just sit there right in front of me and push one in. And I would, Anyway, enough of mine.
I haven't thought about that in years, and I don't remember any of it. I don't think I did any of that stuff.
But you know, when you did do that, that was funny when you did, because you said, I said, I can be annoying. He said, yeah, you can be annoying with that. He said, but I'm glad that you are, because that's your job. And if you are that good and you're that fussy about your job, then you're the right one for it. If you weren't, he said, I'd be more concerned. So I took it as a compliment.
Well, good. I'm so glad. That could have gone a lot of different places right there. All right, I have another Star Trek question for you. This is not from season one. This is from a later season. An actor named, William Marshall played Dr. Richard Daystrom in an episode in which a new advanced artificially intelligent control system threatened to render all of the crew redundant. Can you name the episode?
I believe that was about the M5 computer. And
yes.
Which Starfleet later named a school after, the Daystrom Institute. Anyway, that was called the Ultimate Computer.
Ding, you got it. Very good.
Am I redeeming myself now?
You are, yeah, it's annoyingly so. I thought for sure I'd get you for a third one that time. But I'm trying to make sure that the descriptions, that's how bad I think. I mean, I know you're really good at it. When you say that was a bad description, I know you're accurate, and I know it was probably my own fault. So, there you go. Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
We have, for those who don't realize, on our staff, when most people show up new on our staff, we have a moment of reckoning where we say to people, well, are you a Star Trek or a Star Wars person? And there's a great moment there where all the eyes turn and it gets painfully silent and everybody waits.
It's true.
And the smart ones say Star Trek. not that I'm biased, but there you go. Mike, you are surrounded by a group of people who help keep this facility running, not only your staff, but Jerry Van Fossen, who's our trustees chair. I know you are the staff liaison to the trustees. What are some of the things the trustees are focusing on right now that lie ahead in these upcoming months as winter is headed our way?
Well, since you mentioned Jerry Van Fossen, I'm going to tell you something. I have never worked with a greater guy. I just love Jerry. And he and I are able to sit down and talk on the same level regarding the trustees, regarding the facility. He and I really, really do connect. And I remember a couple years ago, I had asked Mark, I said, is there any chance we could have Jerry be the chairperson of the trustees for life? And I mean, We work well together. The timing is always perfect. Jerry seems to show up right when I need him to show up. We just need to talk about things. So Mark said, I don't know if we can do that or not. And you looked into it.
I don't know that that's possible.
And all I know is Jerry's been on it for quite a while now. And I'm grateful for that. So, yeah, it is important. And here's the thing. He is here. I can communicate with him all the time, almost immediately. And if he were working, you know how difficult it was for some people who have a job, for somebody like me who needs an answer right away, to have to wait a day or so before somebody can respond. Put in a call and wait for them to call me. Well, I don't have time. I've got to get this resolved right now. Not everything is urgent, but most things they're important to some degree. And Jerry's been with me the whole time, so I appreciate it. I do, and I appreciate him. So what was your question?
What are there any particular issues that are coming up in the next few months that we have to deal with?
We are still looking at finishing. This is the one that's come up, Mark. I'm sure you're aware of it. First Steps had an evaluation, an inspection. You aware of that, I'm sure. And there are things they're pushing. They want a fence around, some kind of a fence in a playground area if we're going to let the kids outside, that's separate from the playground. They also want new door handles, ADA compliant door handles on all of the classrooms. And also there was one other thing, not as important, but had you been aware of that?
No, I hadn't heard about the door handles, but that sounds about right. One of the things that we appreciate most about First Steps is that we are fully compliant with all the regulatory agencies and the requirements. In fact, you might remember that's the reason we have a security system. As difficult as that was for us to transition to having to be let into the building by one of the office volunteers, just to remind you, that was encouraged. At some point, the police and fire departments here in Oak Ridge came to us and said, you will do this, because it was just unsafe to have children in the building where people could literally walk in anytime they wanted to without any security measures. So we will go above and beyond to take care of the children in First Steps and the adults in Keystone. And continue that full compliance. So it sounds like door handles are on our horizon. Is that going to be in this year's budget or next
actually,
year's budget?
Actually, this is all going to be on First Steps. The fence will all be on First Steps. The doorknobs all on First Steps. And 50% of the remaining three classroom cabinets, when we do those, will be on First Steps. Trustees has agreed to take 50% of that for the cabinets. And the other items will be on First Steps.
All right, Mike, thank you for all you've answered for us today. You are two for two for Star Trek, so I thought we'd have a final one to see you are a winner or a loser today in Star Trek. I'm going to give you a different season altogether, so you know it's season three. There's only three seasons. Dun, dun, dun. This is an episode where Abraham Lincoln makes an appearance.
Yes. With Sarek, a Vulcan, was there with him.
Yes.
There was.
And they battled notorious villains from history.
Yes, and there was a rock creature who was controlling them.
That's right. Deciding whether good versus evil is a real thing. You name the title of the episode?
If I'm not mistaken, it was a Savage Curtain that was over that episode.
Yes. Yes, I am so impressed.
The Savage Curtain.
Dang, you win, as I thought you would, but it still impresses me to no end. So
when I was 2 and 3.
Yep. You were three out of
what was
that? Yeah, you were 2 and 3. That's you're a winner. You get all the prize package. Tell him, Steve, what he won.
That's right, Mark. You have won. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Our admiration
and respect.
No, you know,
and deep, deep, deep,
and
deep,
respect.
Deep
That's
respect.
The word I'm looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Such a fun conversation, you know. It's so fun. So, Mark, as we wrap up today, I live in the greater Washington, D.C. area. I'm far away from this church, even though my heart is certainly there. I'm doing communications, not on the pastoral staff like I used to be. I gotta say, people need to give money this year. People need to give money to the financial campaign this year. What can I do to help? What can I do to, shake the tree a little bit? Because it takes a lot to keep a building like that, like we have. And I have, being a part of this church since I was a little kid, I've never known anybody in the church to do things halfway. When we did the renovation to get rid of the asbestos and to build the portico share and to do all that stuff and to put the new heating and air conditioning system in, man, I just thought, oh God, is there an easier way to do this? It seems awfully extreme, but nope, they did it big and they did it right, and everything is done right, but it takes resources to keep it up. Yeah.
You see that when you go around to other church buildings where they did it halfway or three quarters, and it's okay, but man, suddenly maintenance pops up much quicker, and the cost of maintaining those facilities that are done just kind of partially well, it bites you in the long run. We're very blessed that this building is an asset and will
I would say it's a witness. I would say it's the church's witness to the community, and here's why. I have seen way too many church buildings that were built in the 1950s, 1960s, and they looked like they hadn't been refurbished or redone or redecorated or re-anything in the entire length of time. Green carpet, paneling, etc. Young people won't take that seriously. And I consider myself a young person in that regard, because it's hard to take seriously a building that's not kept up. It's not fresh, current. And our building is current. It is fresh. It is beautiful in every way. So, financial campaign pitch, let's do it. Let's bring it big, guys. Let's do it.
We're very blessed that those who went before us have handed us such a treasure, and this building and the staff that we have, which is outstanding, and the programs that we present, the worship services, they're all really wonderful, and we're blessed to have them.
So folks, on that note, thank you for listening. We're glad that at least one of you listened all the way to the end of this silly program today. We're going to keep doing it and keep building this. Please share this podcast with folks, with friends, tell people about it, and come back next week. We will talk to you again soon and look for another great, well, it won't be great, but it'll be fun, episode of Can the Church Be Saved? Take it easy.